A wide majority of Americans feel that as a nation we've been heading down the wrong path and that our political leaders of various stripes are part of the problem, not necessarily part of the solution. Some conservatives and Christians are very excited about the possibility of an accomplished medical physician, Dr. Ben Carson, running for president. To discuss that with us now is John Philip Sousa IV. You would be the great-grandson, would you not be, of John Philip Sousa?
I am. He was my great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather. And did you ever, meet him or see him or anything? Or was that?
No, sadly, he died about 15 years before I was born.
Oh, okay. Best known for his marches and the Stars and Stripes Forever. And this is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and let's get right to it, sir. So why are you enthusiastic about Ben Carson?
Well, for a multitude of reasons, someone has to save our nation, and politics as usual is just not getting the job done. We are in worse shape today than I think we've been in my entire life, and I'm almost 70 years old.
Wow.
So I'm very, very excited about Dr. Carson. And the potential of his running for president and hopefully winning. He's a Christian man through and through. He believes in the Constitution. He operates on the theory of common sense. He believes that people ought to work together and stop fighting each other, which is what we need an awful lot more of in Washington, D.C.
Right, and yet we've kind of heard some of the same stuff before, you know, in one sense. By the way, I found it funny when you said he operates on a theory of common sense. Dr. Carson is best known for some incredible operations of a medical sort.
Yeah, he was the neurosurgeon who developed the process of separating twins conjoined at the head.
Wow.
And when you think about that, all the nerves, the blood cells, the veins, the muscle, the pieces of brain that have to be separated and then kind of all put back together again. I mean, this is so far beyond rocket science. It's not even funny. And my belief is, and I think lots of people, that if you've got a guy who can figure that out, I'll bet you he can figure out our immigration issues, and I'll bet he can figure out our economy, and I'll bet he can figure out a lot of the other problems that are ailing our wonderful nation.
One of the things Dr. Carson did a couple years ago that showed a lot of courage, and he received a lot of flack from it from liberals, but unjustly, in my opinion, but when he was actually at a prayer breakfast where the president himself was speaking, Dr. Carson gently rebuffed the president, saying that this isn't the right way to go, and I know medicine. And he talked about instead the idea of the health savings accounts, ways in which individuals would take responsibility for their own health, which would make a huge difference in our health care issue. And by the way, look at how Obamacare is panning out. Here are 29 senators who voted for it just in 2010 or 2009, 29 are not going to be returning to the Senate in January. That doesn't mean they all lost, three have died and so forth, but that's still a significant statistic.
Yeah, that's almost a third of the U.S. Senate is gone because of their votes. Not totally because of their votes on Obamacare, but because of their lack of courage to stand up to Obama when they know that issues are wrong. I mean, at the time, my congressman, now my U.S. senator, I'm sad to say, in Connecticut, he sent out mailings to all of his constituents saying, I have read every single page.
Oh, he's the one.
Every single page. He said he's the one,
yeah.
But then he told us, you get to keep your doctor, you get to keep your health plan, nothing changes, and you're going to save money. So either he lied to us about reading it,
wow,
or he just lied to us about what was in it. And nobody has courage in Washington, D.C. anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody will stand up to Jarrett. What's her name?
Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, thank you. Or Obama. They're all scared to death of him.
Right, whereas Dr. Carson did say this was not the right way to go. And then wasn't he audited after that for the first time ever, an IRS audit?
Two things happened. Literally within 2 hours, he received calls from the White House saying, you need to apologize to President Obama.
Wow.
And Dr. Carson said, I'm not going to. And then within 2 weeks, he received his very first audit he had ever had. And, of course, as you can well imagine, the audit came out just as, you know, clean as can be. It was just pure harassment, punishment for daring to criticize the president and Obamacare and political correctness and redistribution of wealth.
Isn't that something? You know, Obama sometimes makes Richard Nixon look like a Sunday school teacher.
Nixon was a saint compared to this guy.
Wow. Tell us about Dr. Ben Carson. Oh, no, go ahead. You're going to say something else.
No, that was it, Jerry.
Okay. All right. We're talking right now, by the way, with John Philip Sousa IV, and he is an enthusiastic supporter of Dr. Ben Carson and would like to see him become president one day, maybe soon. But tell us about Dr. Carson's background. I think that is a very motivational story. No matter what happens with him in the future, the story itself is so encouraging. Anybody can take hope with this great, motivational, inspirational example.
Dr. Carson was born and raised in the ghettos of Detroit and Boston, brought up by a single mom who was illiterate. Carson's mom got married when she was 13. The husband was, a real bum and eventually left. And this woman would work three jobs to keep a roof over Dr. Carson's head and his brother and to make sure they had food and had nice, had decent, clean clothes to wear to school. Dr. Carson was when he was a kid, he was a lousy student, and growing up in the ghetto, he was heading down the path of so many kids that are trapped in that environment. One day, Dr. Carson's mother was cleaning the house of a rather wealthy individual, and she was in the den and noticed that there were thousands of books everywhere, including covering up kind of the TV. And the owner walked in and she said, excuse me, but with all these books around, how do you watch your television? He said, I don't. I read books. She went home that night and she said, boys, 1 hour of television a week and you're going to read the rest of the time. And each week I want you to give me a book report on what you've read. You can read anything you want. I don't care, but I want you to start reading books. And keep in mind, she was illiterate, so she would get the book reports back. She couldn't read them, but she would critique them. She said, well, Benjamin, that was a pretty good report. See if you can do a little bit better next week. and Dr. Carson attributes the reading of books to his turning from the bottom of his class to the top of his class within, I think he says, 12 or 18 months.
Wow.
And he said books expanded, brought the world to him. Mm-hmm. He could go anywhere he wanted. He could meet anyone he wanted to simply by reading books. And he learned the history of our country, and this was before history books had rewritten the history of our country. It was thanks to his mother forcing the boys to begin to read that Dr. Carson is the person that he is today.
That is fascinating. Now, did he and his brother know that their mom was illiterate and therefore these book reports that they were writing for her, she couldn't even read them necessarily?
No, not initially.
Ah.
Not initially, they didn't.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
but it shows you
totally, Fox.
Yeah, it shows you though how important accountability is. It's not what we expect of others, it's what we inspect that counts.
Exactly.
And I think, by the way, one quick comment. Groucho Marx once said, I find television very educational. Every time somebody turns on the set, I go into the other room and read a book.
There you go.
We're talking right now with John Philip Sousa IV, the great-grandson of the man who wrote The Stars and Stripes Forever. And, boy, is that in your blood, by the way?
I wish.
All that music?
I wish. When I was a kid, my parents threw every instrument known to mankind in my direction, and nothing, I mean nothing, stuck.
Huh.
Sousa took all of the musical talent to the grave with him. but listen, he had enough for multiple generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, do you have a son? And if so, is there a John Philip IV? I mean, the fifth? John Philip Sousa the fifth?
For reasons that I won't bore your audience with, I decided many years ago I didn't want to have children. So the answer is no. I do not have a son, and no, there is no John Philip Sousa the fifth.
Isn't that interesting? All right, now, going back to Ben Carson, what if somebody says, okay, the guy's a great, accomplished medical man. He has, made history. He's pioneered things. How does that qualify him for being the president of the United States? What are your comments to that? Qualifications?
Well, that's a very legitimate question. And clearly, the more visible Dr. Carson becomes, the more that question is asked. And I would respond to it this way. We have 500 and some odd professional politicians in Washington, D.C., plus the administration, plus the cabinet, plus the Supreme Court. How are things working out? And I would venture to say they're not working out very well. So I believe we need to take a fresh look at how we run our country. Not that our system should change, but we need someone who believes in the Constitution. We need someone who believes that our country is a Christian Judeo country. We need someone that operates on the premise of common sense. We need someone that can bring people together. We need someone with a business background, which Dr. Carson clearly has. He's managed huge budgets and large staff. We need someone who knows how to figure stuff out and to bring the top people together to find solutions to the problems that we have. One of the wonderful things, refreshing things about Dr. Carson is he is beholden to no one, to absolutely no one. So if Dr. Carson believes that, I don't know, pick the subject, he is free to speak his mind. He is, and as president, he will be free to make decisions and to move the country in a different direction because he's not beholden to lobbyists or to people who gave him a lot of money or to people he made promises to. This is so refreshing and such a unique opportunity for our country to really clean up our mess and get us back on the right track.
You know, the U.S. Constitution really is a phenomenon. It is just such a gift from God. I forgot what Gladstone said about it, but it was something to the effect that this is the greatest, political document ever achieved from the mind of man. And again, it is a gift from God, but it is predicated on the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from God. God-given rights don't come from Washington. They don't come from the beneficial hand of the state. They come from the Lord, and we need to recognize that. And I think our modern politicians, even if they give lip service to God-given rights, I don't think they really believe it. I think they think, our Father, which art in Washington, and so it's a refreshing thing.
That's really sick, but very accurate.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about a concluding thought about the prospect of Dr. Ben Carson cleaning up our mess in modern America?
Well, when we started the draft Dr. Ben Carson committee about 17, 18 months ago. We never thought that we would be where we are today, which is having raised over $11 million, 20,000 volunteers. Wow. Over 100,000 people have contributed to our campaign, and Dr. Carson now looks like he's going to run. He's doing everything and saying everything that would indicate to a person paying attention that this guy is going to run for the presidency of the United States of America.
10 seconds left.
And he's what we need. So people can go to our website, runbinrun.org.
Thank you, John.